Okay. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for the kind introduction, and thank you to the organizers for the invitation to give a talk here about the potential of semantic technologies for libraries. I very much enjoyed the talk of Heiner Stuckenschmidt from a CIO perspective, and now I feel like being his project manager because he addressed so many important issues libraries should deal with, like, for example, they should conduct research, they should use semantic technologies for automated indexing. He talked about joint resources to open the scope of their own repositories, and he also mentioned research data. And to all these topics, I will show you and introduce what ZBW is currently doing, and I will do that from a scientific perspective, always with a link to libraries, with a link to what new services can arise from our scientific work. So the overview actually goes along a timeline, starting in 2008, when we first experienced semantic enhanced retrieval. That was a PhD thesis from one of my students who is now working in the largest media company in Southeast Europe. Then I come to the current activities we are conducting at the ZBW. That is the concept of what we call semantic document representations and the benefits of that. And finally, a very new PhD thesis dealing with semantics in research data management. So the first activity, which finished in 2008, that is, it started at around 2005, dealt with the question, how can we enhance information retrieval with using semantic technologies? And I will just explain that by examples and not so much from the technological perspective. Traditional information retrieval works in the way that you have an index, you have a search term, a key term, and if the search term appears somewhere in the index, all the documents which are associated with the concept in the index are a part of the result list. For example, if we search for rescue, we find in the index the yellow cloud up there, and to that cloud there are a couple of documents associated, which means that these documents contain the term rescue. That is traditional syntax-based information retrieval. What we did is we increased and enhanced it with the use of ontologies. That is, instead of having just an index, we have an ontology for a certain domain. And in the upper part, you see that the yellow cloud is a concept in that ontology, that this concept is somehow related, semantically related with other concepts, the brown ones, for example, the brown clouds. And when you now start a search for rescue, you can first use traditional information retrieval approaches, and then you get the two yellow documents. In addition, with the semantic enhancement, we look which concepts do exist to the yellow cloud, because we know that these concepts are somehow semantically related to the yellow document, and then we look which documents are associated to these concepts, and then we can also offer the two brown documents to the users, and these documents do not necessarily contain the search term. Do not necessarily contain, in this case, rescue as a search term, but thanks to the semantic model, to the ontology, we know that these documents are somehow related to the search term. So that was, very short, our first experience, which resulted in a PhD thesis. And when I joined ZBW, I thought, okay, we can apply this technology, this approach, also to the search engines of the ZBW, but I soon faced the limitations of that approach. That approach is very well suited for application domains which are limited in complexity. We applied that model, which I have shown you, in the field of like a network of SMEs. The application domain there was consultancy projects in innovation. We applied it in a research department of a large corporation. So for these domains, we could easily develop an ontology describing the main concept of the domain. But for ZBW, as a library with a special focus on economics, we would need an ontology for economics, would we apply the concepts I have just shown you, and this is almost impossible. It's impossible to define an ontology for economics which is widely accepted by the community. And this is why we could not apply this approach to the search engine of the ZBW, and it led to a new idea which we have started in 2010, that is, we do not cementify the application domain, but we generate something what we call semantic document representations. And let me motivate the idea behind that. This is our OPAC, the ZBW's OPAC, and there you can search for cross-domestic product in Asia. That is your search query. You are interested in the GDP in Asia. And then the OPAC returns you a list of hits. That is fine. Now assume that you have two search queries, cross-domestic product in Asia, which returns a list of documents. On the other hand, GDP in Asia. If we compare the results of the two search queries, we experience that the list of results is very different. Even though cross-domestic products in Asia and GDP in Asia is semantically, you know, similar. But the results are completely different, and this is because semantics is lacking. We don't have any semantics yet in the system, and the idea is to overcome this situation. So what we do is we represent each single publication as a semantic graph. That is, each publication is described in RDF. And let me explain it. You have here the publication ZBWJ001. That is the publication. For example, the publication year, the title, the abstract, that is modeled using Dublin Core, which is also based upon RDF. We have a friend of a friend, that vocabulary, to model the co-authorship. We are using our own SCOS vocabulary to link the article with relevant terms from our semantic thesaurus for economics. And there we see that this document, ZBWJ001, is somehow related to GDP on the one side and cross-domestic product. And this information comes from our thesaurus. And what we now do is we have only these semantic representations, and all the search is not performed on a full text index anymore, but only on this semantic graph. That is the idea. The benefits is now such an RDF graph, such a semantic representation, helps us to identify that cross-domestic product and GDP is the same. We can model that because we have a thesaurus for economics, which also exists in the SCOS vocabulary, in a semantic standard vocabulary, and we can model that this concept in economics is the same as another concept in economics. It also helps us to identify further results which might be of relevance to a specific query. For example, if we ask for the GDP in Asia, the question is, what is Asia? Asia is a country with 48, or is a region with 48 countries, and with a traditional retrieval concepts, you would not get the publications which are indexed by Malaysia, Iran, for example, which are part of Asia. Here, thanks to the semantic representation, we can explicitly model that Malaysia, for example, is geographically located within Asia and can return the documents, even though they might not contain the term Asia. So that is the first step, but then we experience, if we offer this as a service to our users, they are still restricted to our own silo. And this is what Heiner referred to as joint resources. That is, we want to offer to our users also content from other repositories. For example, in social sciences, some of the publications which are of interest for economists are not part of our knowledge base, but they are in the knowledge base of the Social Sciences Institute, the Gieses Institute. So the question is, how can we overcome that? The idea is somebody uses our OPAC, gets results of documents we have indexed, but in addition to that, documents from another repository indexed by somebody else, and all that based upon semantics. So the first thing we need is we somehow have to identify a correlation between a document from our repository to documents of other repositories. We are doing that with a linked open data cloud, because there we have published our thesaurus for economics. Other thesauri are also published, for example, for agriculture or for social sciences. All these thesauri are also published within the linked open data cloud. Here, AgroVoc is the thesaurus from the Food and Agriculture Organization from the UN, FAO. And what we did is we have implemented cross-concordances between the two thesauri. That is, we use on a semantic level a data property, same as in OWL, which says that this concept in our thesaurus is the same concept in another thesaurus, like in AgroVoc. Sometimes the terms are different in the two thesauri, but the meaning is the same. And this relationship we call cross-concordance. This has been modeled in the linked open data cloud. So whenever you start a search with using our thesaurus, you have a concept, you can relate that concept to a same concept from another domain, which is, in this case, agriculture, could also be social sciences. And we call this concept the opening of the silos, cross-linking sciences, or using of joint information resources. That was the terminology Heiner used. When we have now a document found in our repository, that is the document J0, we have the semantic representation, and the semantic representation contains concepts from our thesaurus describing that resource. For example, this document deals with cross-domestic products. What we can do is we can link through the linked open data cloud this concept to the concepts of another repository, AgroVoc, for example. And then we just look for the documents which are indexed by these terms from AgroVoc. And then we can offer the document D01 as being semantically related to the document which originally comes from the ZPW. The idea is, thanks to linked open data, we start the search within ZPW's repository. We leave the repository, link up to the linked open data. Within linked open data, we connect our thesaurus with the thesaurus of agriculture, for example, and then go down in the repository for agriculture and retrieve documents which are semantically related to the documents from our own repository. And that would be a new service to the community, particularly important for those who are conducting research at the interface between two sciences, economics and social sciences, for example, at the interface, or economics and agriculture at this interface. And that is a service we will be offering to our users. The question, of course, which are still open in that area, is dealing with information overload, because we already can return so many documents just from our own repository, and now even more documents from a different repository. This is still under investigation, how we can manage that. The implementation, I can skip that, but it's pretty much what also Heiner mentioned. First, we need to do the indexing. We need to generate the semantic representations. They come into the knowledge base. Then we have to query, to analyze the search query of the users. We get the first results, and for the cross-linking, we need to identify documents in other repositories which are of relevance to the ones found from our repository. And the relevance measures there do several different technologies exist. We are currently experiencing which is the best one. Okay, so this is, just to recap, we started with using ontologies of a domain to improve retrieval. That was difficult for huge and complex domains like economics in general, because we are a library for economics, so we thought that is not possible and have looked for alternatives. The alternative is we do not model the application domain in an ontology, but we do specify semantic representations for documents, and all the retrieval is then carried out on the representation of the document. The next step is semantics in research data management. We had here a session, I think it was yesterday, about research data management. Also, Heiner mentioned the importance of research data management for libraries, because that is indeed an issue which becomes more and more important. And in the library area, there are in Germany four libraries who are members of DataSite. I think you have heard about the DataSite initiative, because there was Jan Brase from TIB among us, and he had a talk about DataSite yesterday. The idea is that these four organizations are offering registries for research data. With the registries, we can issue DOIs, a digital object identifier, for research data, and that DOI for a research data set ensures that the data set is uniquely identifiable, that you can cite it, and we also take care that research data is like curated and maintained long-term. So these four organizations are aware of the importance of research data, that is the library side. There's also the semantic community side. And also they are increasingly involved in research projects about semantification of research data. It started in 2008, and it's going on in that field. One project, for example, conducted in 2009 by Joachim Research in Austria, dealt with the semantification of the Eurostat data. Eurostat, you know, that provides all the statistical data about Europe. What they did is, that was the Riese project by Michael Hausenplas, who is now with DERI. The project was to semantify, to transform the data of Eurostat in an RDF model, so that this data can be processed by computers and not only by humans. Others deal with vocabularies for semantically describing statistic data. For example, SCOVO is a standard for the semantic description of statistic data. And this is carried out from the semantic community side, not so much from the library side. Now, our idea is the following. We have a data set. This data set here shows you the life expectancy in Wales. For example, in July 2005, life expectancy for females in Cardiff was 83.7 years. This information exists on the web, but without any semantics. You just have that entire data set. The only thing you can do is you can search for that entire data set. And what we want to do is we want to fully semantify that research data. That is, we want to really express the semantics of each specific cell in such a table. In order to do so, I show it by example, we need a model, which is the schema shown in the first part. That is, a data set consists of items. Each item has a property value, and the values have a certain dimension. And if we take, again, the table, we want to semantically describe in RDF a specific data cell. We can do it with a model. We have the data cell called X. It has a value 83.7. On the right-hand side, you see it has a time, a region, a sex. And the time is exactly July 2005. The region is Cardiff. The sex is female. So this is the semantic description of that particular cell. We can also semantically describe columns within a table. And all that is needed to offer new services to our users. I will show you which services we can offer based upon such a model. For example, the values might change because the method for calculating the values has been revised, and now you have a new version. Data curation is an important issue. We can easily extend our RDF graph by adding like curation history as a data property and add, in addition to the original age 83.7, the age of the revised method, which is 84.1. And again, this is machine processable. That is not only understandable by us as humans, but the computers can now understand that 84.1 is the updated age of 83.7 for this particular data cell. And that is important that the computer can understand, and not only ourselves. We can also have semantic descriptions for curation events. We can just add yet another semantic item like curation event, can have a revision ID curator and things like that. And again, machine processable. Computers can understand that. And in that field, there are new open research questions or new opportunities as well. And a question we do not address is how do we semantically annotate research data. There are other groups doing that, because when you have a table with research data, data set, you need to generate somehow the semantic description of that, and other groups are working in that field. So our work will be based upon that. We assume we have a semantic description of data sets. And then we can, for example, offer tools to which support repurposing of data. That is, you have a specific column in a data set which you want to use within another data set. For example, in economics, when they make empirical studies, say here in the context of Bielefeld, they ask about average income and quality of life in the households of Bielefeld, for example. Then this data set is part of the survey. But for the survey, it's also important to know how many people do live in Bielefeld. And this information is not part of the survey. This comes from some statistical databases. And what we want to offer is to semantically link the population data set of Bielefeld to the data set of your survey and do it semantically. You know, currently all this is done manually by hand. The people have to go to like Statistische Bundesamt, that is the German statistic authority, which maintains all the statistic data, have to search for the data of the population in Bielefeld at a specific point in time. Then they get an entire table where one column has exactly the data the researchers need. What we want to offer is exactly that column, and we want to offer that as a service based upon the semantic technologies. And this leads to the idea of virtual data sets. That is, instead of having one huge data set in all the data centers or in all the institutes, we want to offer mechanisms to compose such data sets from data parts which exist somewhere out there in the semantic web. And this is an example showing that you have an external data set, for example, statistics about the population in 2009, 10, and 11 in Bielefeld. You have your own user data set, which is the data set from your own empirical study and survey, and you want to combine the two for your evaluations. And this should be done automatically through the composition of the different data sets, and this is only possible because we have semantic descriptions of the data sets. That is pretty much what I wanted to tell you. Again, first step was semantic based upon ontologies for application domains. That does not always work because economics, for example, is a too broad field. Second idea is to have semantic representations for documents. where you describe a document as an RDF graph with a publication, with the co-authors. You can extract that from the metadata or from the document itself. And the first and the third step is to semantify research data so that you can compose different data sets together to create a new data set on which you perform your research. If you want to learn more about that, we are organizing together with the HBZ, Hochschulbibliothekszentrum in Cologne, the conference Semantic Web in Libraries, and there is a special focus on linked open data and semantic web. Here is the information, also the URL where you can access more information about that conference. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Professor Tochtermann, for that interesting talk. Are there any questions in the audience? Yes, please.
Klaus, thank you for a very interesting presentation. I was wondering, maintaining Tensori is work.
Yeah.
It needs humans.
Yeah.
So in the long run, will you not lose from the brute force indexing power of full text that, for instance, Google is using? So will you not eventually lose from what Google calls the unreasonable effectiveness of data?
Yeah. I mean, yes, we put quite a few resources into the maintenance curation of our thesaurus. That is very true. Still, the thesaurus ensures that the quality of the research, of the search results using our system, is normally higher than what Google can offer, because Google search is only based upon syntax and does not have any semantics. Still, you're right. If now there is the, you know, this new schema.org initiative, for example, where Google, Bing, and Yahoo have decided upon a joint semantic vocabulary to describe organizations, people in a way that computers can understand. So that's a semantic vocabulary, and that indeed might be a challenge for us to face. And maybe in 5 years' time, that I cannot foresee, the maintenance of a thesaurus like ours for a specific domain is not appropriate anymore. That I cannot foresee. For the moment, Google is not that far, and that is a big differentiator between our work specifically within one topic and what Google does.
Thank you. Are there any more questions? Then I'd like to thank you again,
thank
Professor Tochtermann.